The proud man of time has become the beggar in eternity. The one who in life denied the poor man a crumb from his table is now begging for one drop of water. The one who in his life fared sumptuously every day would now be happy with just one drop of water to cool his tongue. He's in a place of misery. Notice, secondly, he's in a place of memory. This is something that's new to a lot of folks. Luke 16:25, but Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented." Verse 25 indicates that Hades is a place of memory. He lifts up his eyes and he sees Lazarus, and he is conscious of what he has missed. One of the tortures of Hades is to look across the fixed gulf and view the comforts and blessings of those who have accepted Christ. I believe that throughout eternity, the unbeliever will be constantly reminded of what he missed because he rejected God. I believe he will remember services where he heard the gospel message and where the testimony of the Holy Spirit was strong in his heart, but he walked away from it and rejected it. And throughout eternity, it will be an instant replay over and over and over again in his mind that he had a chance, that he could have accepted, but he did not. It is a place of misery and a place of memory. But notice, thirdly, it's a place of mourning. Luke 16:27 to 31 says, "Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him, Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And Abraham said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if somebody came back from the grave.'" Listen to the power of the Word of God. It is more powerful than someone coming back from the dead, according to Jesus. Now, the representative of the lost who are now in Hades is this rich man. He was alive, he was conscious, he was in full exercise of his faculties, his memory, and he's in torment. Now, I know you didn't come to hear me talk about that, but I have to tell you that so you understand the rest of the story. There are two people. Now, I want you to notice two places. Let's notice what happens, and let me take you through the progression of where they are now. First of all, an intermediate hell. A place that is not ultimately hell, but it is hell in an intermediate way. Watch this. So far as the unsaved dead are concerned, they continue in this place called Hades, the intermediate hell, until a particular time in the future. At the judgment of the great white throne, Hades gives them up, and they are judged and passed into the lake of fire. You say, where is that? Well, I want you to read with me Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 and 14. "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Here's what happens. When a person dies today and they don't know Jesus, their body goes in the grave and their soul and spirit goes to Hades. One day after the judgment, Hades, according to the scripture, will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the permanent hell, where there is mourning and weeping and wailing forever and ever. Do I believe in a permanent hell? Let me say to you, if there is no permanent hell, there cannot be a permanent heaven, because the Bible says far more about hell in the New Testament than it does about heaven. There is such a place, and it is a place that no one wants to go. You can say, "I don't believe that," as if by not believing you could make it untrue. My friend, if you believe it or you don't believe it, it's still true. And it's going to be a place where, as you can see from this rich man, you would never want to go, and you would never want anyone you love to go. All right? The intermediate hell. Now notice, secondly, the intermediate heaven, paradise. Now, you have to really think carefully here. Every believer who died before the ascension of Christ went to paradise. There was no change in their abode until Jesus ascended to the Father. And here's something that happened so dramatic here that it is often skipped over by the teachers of the Word of God simply because they cannot fathom the truth of it. Well, I happen to believe the Bible And when I see something I can't fathom, I just get more excited. Because this is a supernatural book about a supernatural life, about a supernatural God who has a supernatural plan for His supernatural saints. Amen? And so if it's something I can't fathom and it's, whoa, I say, okay, let's find out what's going on here. And so watch what happens now. When a believer dies in the Old Testament, his body went in the grave and his soul and spirit went to the place called paradise. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was buried and he rose again. On the day of his ascension, something changed. And I want you to watch Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He also descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Here's what the Bible says. When Jesus ascended after his death, he went into the earth and he led captivity captive. He went into paradise and he took all the people who were in paradise and he took them with him up to the third heaven. Paradise is no longer an intermediate place. Paradise is with God in heaven. Jesus took all of those who were in paradise, all the Old Testament saints, all who had died and believed in God before the ascension. When Jesus died on the cross, after his death, he went into paradise. You say, how do you know Jesus went to paradise? I'm glad you asked me. You remember what he said to the thief on the cross when he died? What did he say, class? Today, Luke 23:43, today you will be with me, where? In paradise. How do you know paradise is not still where it is? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, too. Let's go back and remember in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 and 4. Do you remember what Paul said about his vision? I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was called up to the third heaven. Where's the third heaven, class? It's in the north. It's where God is, right? All right. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows how he was caught up into paradise. Where is paradise? It's in the third heaven. How did it get there? When Jesus ascended and took paradise captive, he took it up to the third heaven. So now, where are they? When a believer dies, his body goes in the grave and goes to sleep. His soul doesn't go to sleep. There's no such thing as soul sleep. Let me tell you something, friend. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you're going to be alive somewhere forever and ever. Your soul does not sleep. The body sleeps, and the soul and spirit goes to paradise, which is in the third heaven. Now, you probably think we've got all these problems resolved. We know where an unbeliever goes. We know where a believer goes. But there's one more problem, and let me tell you what it is. Here's the problem. When a believer dies and his body goes in the grave, and he goes to be with Jesus, he doesn't have a body. Because his body is in the grave, and the resurrection doesn't happen until Jesus comes back to the earth. Isn't that true? So, his body goes in the grave, his soul and spirit goes to paradise, the resurrection of the all believers doesn't happen until the rapture. What happens to the believer between death and the resurrection? What form do we take when we die and the resurrection hasn't happened yet? Are we disrobed of our bodies and launched into eternity naked? A person dies, their body goes in the grave, their soul and spirit goes to paradise. But how do they exist in paradise? The body has to be a part of our existence because the human spirit craves to be clothed. Now, here's the passage of Scripture that I want you to look at with me. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, what's that, our body, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this body, in this tent, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Paul says that the human spirit earnestly desires not to be unclothed. That means not to be without, not to be disembodied. The human spirit desperately desires not to be without a body. To this end, a body from heaven awaits a believer when he dies. Now, did you know this? You've got your current body. You're going to have your resurrected body. But the scripture says you've got an in-between body. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says that when we die as Christians, and I think this is probably new truth to some people, when we die as Christians, our bodies go in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. Our soul and spirit goes to paradise to be with Jesus, but God Almighty gives us a clothing, an intermediate body that's not our resurrected body because the resurrection hasn't happened yet, and there's no such thing as one-at-a-time resurrections. The resurrection happens all at once. And so in between our death and the resurrection, when we get our new resurrection final body, Almighty God clothes us with a spirit body. Don't ask me what it's all like, except it's a manifestation of the spirit in bodily form, so that even in paradise now, we can recognize each other, we can know each other, we can fellowship with each other, and ultimately one day when Jesus comes back and the resurrection happens, we will get bodies by Jesus. When an Old Testament person died, their soul went to Hades, their body went in the grave. At the great white throne judgment, Hades is cast into the lake of fire, and forever and ever, there is no hope. When a believer dies, his body goes in the grave. He goes to paradise, his soul and spirit, but God gives him an intermediate body so that he is not unclothed between now and the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection, his body comes out of the grave and it is in a moment transformed into his permanent heavenly body, and together we shall be with the Lord. Now, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? But let me just tell you, there's a way to deal with this that's so simple, and it's the last thing I want to tell you, and that is we talked about two people and two places. I want to give you two principles that are really exciting to me. I love theology, as you can probably tell, and when I have something that I need to find an answer to, I study and study and study until I find it. And you know what I've discovered? I've never had a question that I really researched that I couldn't find the answer to in the scripture. I know now for a fact what happens to a person when they die, where they go, how they exist, what's going on right now. But all of that, as wonderful as it is not the most important thing. Let me tell you what I've discovered. And I don't know if I can tell you this without emotion. After immersing myself in all of these passages about the temporary and eternal home of the believer, one truth jumps out of the scripture and into my heart. Paradise and heaven and the New Jerusalem and whatever name you may use to describe that place is secondary to this. Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is being with Jesus. And over that truth, you need to write a banner, because it is hammered into our hearts over and over. And I bet you haven't seen it as many times as it's there, because it kind of sneaks in at the end of passages. But let me show you what the scripture says, and then you will understand. Well, I don't know if I completely comprehend everything Pastor Jeremiah said today about the intermediate heaven and the permanent heaven. But one thing I do understand is when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. Watch this. Watch this. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. Not about the place, it's about the person. When Jesus gave assurance to the thief on the cross, what did he say to him? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise is secondary. Paul explained death in these terms. He said, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body, not present in heaven, absent from the body, present with who? The Lord. When Paul was writing to the Philippians about his own death, he wrote, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and go where? To heaven? No, to be with Christ. Over and over and over. Have you ever seen that? It's not about heaven so much as it is about Jesus. It's about being with him. And how many of you agree with me? Wherever it is, if he's there, I'm okay. Amen? Wherever he is, wherever it is. Because he's the one who died for me. He's the one who saved me. He's the one who has given me life beyond what I deserve. And if all you want to say to me is you're going to be with Jesus, that's all right. Just take me. Wherever it is, just take me to be with Jesus. Amen? Now, I need to know all these other things. It's important. But far more important is this. After going to great lengths to explain the details of the rapture, this same Apostle Paul summarized it all with these words. He said, "And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord." Amen. I don't know if you get the blessing from this. I'm so excited to know that the Jesus who walks with me every day, who I talk with all the time, is one day going to be with me, and I'm going to be with him permanently in intimate, personal fellowship. Richard Baxter said it this way, "My knowledge of that life is small. The eye of faith is dim, but it is enough that Christ knows all, and I shall be with him." Amen. The priority of the presence of Jesus. And one last thing that I must tell you, and that's the permanence of personal decisions. Luke 16:26, in the story of the two men, says that besides all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed. Men and women, whatever decisions we make about eternity will be made in this life. The Bible teaches that when we die, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Whatever decisions we make about eternity will be made in the here and now. There is no second chance after death. And so if you haven't made your decision to trust in Jesus Christ, if you haven't made your reservation for heaven, you better be about doing it now, because you don't get another chance after you die. I don't care who told you that you did. The Bible says you don't. And you have to decide who you're going to believe. The Lord Jesus has made it very clear that we can know him and spend eternity with him forever. But whatever we do, we better do it now, because this is the day of opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Don and I went to Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to speak at a prayer breakfast. We got there for the prayer breakfast. The people who were in charge of the venue came and said, "There's a man who's been waiting here to see you. And he has a story to tell you that you are not going to believe." And I believe God gave me this story just for today. His name was Red. When I walked in, here was this man. Had red hair, long red ponytail, clear down to the back of his back. He looked like somebody who'd had a hard life. And when I met him, I found out he had. And this is what he told me. He said, "I had tried everything to find some kind of peace here. I couldn't find it. My life was going down, just spiraling down. It just kept getting worse and worse." And he said, "One day I decided, that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to take my life." And he said, "I have driven to my work often and often." He said, "In my mind, I'd often thought that there was this curve that you go around. And if you went straight, there was a huge tree. If you missed that curve and hit that tree, it would be over." So he said, "I decided the way I was going to take my life was get in my car and drive 80 miles an hour and not make the curve and hit that tree and end it all." And this is what he said. "I got in my car, turned on my radio, and found my rock and roll stations, turned it up wide open so that I would have as much noise in the car as possible." He said, "I started to go and put my car in gear and go." And he said, "My radio started acting up." He said, I won't use the term because he hasn't quite sanctified yet, but he said, "It made me so mad." He said, "I took my fist and I went bam like that right in the radio." And he said, "When I did that, Turning Point came on." He said, and I said, "You know what? I told my wife, you might think this was a made up story, but nobody could make up a story like that." He said, "And it made me stop for a minute. And you were talking about heaven and how you can go to heaven and that God loves you." And he said, "I don't know what came over me, Pastor, but," he said, "I shut my car off and I prayed and I received Christ." And he said, "I came here today to hug your neck and to tell you that I'm going to heaven and I'm so excited." And he's serving someplace in a mission. He's helping people down there. You know what I learned? I learned that the gospel can change a person in a moment, but you have to be willing to hear it and accept it. And I hope you don't have to get as far down as he was before you're willing to open your heart and say, "Lord God, you've got a plan for my life, and I want to get in on it." It not only includes heaven someday, but it includes today as well.
Well, thank you for being with us for the teaching time today. Remember now, tomorrow and Thursday, I'm going to be answering the question, won't heaven be boring? Why should I want to go to heaven? Won't it be boring? We'll talk about that tomorrow. I think you'll be surprised at some of the things we discuss. And then we want to remind you also that during this month, we want to make available to you a brand new major book release called Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And it's yours for the asking when you send your gift during the month of June. The heroes of Scripture thought constantly about heaven, and they wrote much about it. Today, you don't hear much about it. And if you do, it's usually a question or a criticism. And yet, heaven's one of the most encouraging subjects in the Bible, the happiest location in the universe, and you should know more about it. Somebody once told me that most Christians spend more time planning a two-week vacation than they do planning where they're going to spend eternity. That's not a good idea. Let's find out all we can about where we're headed and also where our loved ones are. It makes you really feel a sense of strength and courage and satisfaction to know that your loved ones who knew the Lord, your mom and dad as me and my parents and grandparents, they're with the Lord in a good place. And we'll learn more about that as we go through the month. Thanks again for listening, and we'll look forward to seeing you right here on this good station tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. David Jeremiah's series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where you'll find two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly Turning Points magazine and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to learn all about your eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the New International Version and in standard or large print in the New King James, with thousands of notes, sidebars, and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Get details when you contact us today. This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.